I am here with Niraj from Ritual. Niraj, I'm so excited to have you on the pod.
Thanks for having me.
I can't wait to talk the convergence of crypto and AI and how Ritual is fitting into that, how you think about all these things. Maybe before we do that, you can give a little bit of context on how the hell you got into crypto.
My background in crypto started when I was 14. When I was in high school, one of my friends had started mining crypto at his house. And it seemed interesting and seemed kind of weird. And so I decided to do the same. And I started getting involved on the, you know, the kind of subreddits of the crypto, the crypto community. I was a lot more Reddit driven than it is today, which I feel like it's largely on Twitter and other places now. And so that is what really kicked off my interest in crypto and was also the way in which I learned to program, because I didn't program before crypto. And after I learned about it, I figured there'd be a lot of cool opportunities to build stuff in the space. And so I learned to code, you know, through that way. I went to undergrad in Illinois. I'm from Illinois originally. And when I was a sophomore, this professor, Andrew Miller, who was involved and, you know, still very active in the crypto space, had just joined as a professor to the cryptography department, or the computer science department, I should say. And I got the chance to work with him. You know, I reached out and said, hey, I found what you're doing is interesting and I want to do some work with you. And so I got the chance to work with him for a little while I was there on a bunch of different things, largely related to privacy. This was around the time of, you know, Zcash was just released and Tezos, the white paper just came out and they just did the ICO. And that was a really amazing vector for me to learn about the crypto space and to get a little bit more of like a kind of a research understanding. In 2017, I met one of Polychain's LPs when I was interning in San Francisco that summer. And I asked him, I said, hey, I want to do something in the space. I want to maybe drop out of school. You know, what should I do? And he said, oh, you should go meet this fund Polychain. I just invested as an LP. I find what they're doing really interesting. So I went and I met them and I was a really small team. It was only, you know, two or three people at the time. And I loved what they were doing. And I found the concept of, you know, building a crypto focused venture capital fund, hedge fund to be super interesting. And I ended up, you know, joining and dropping out of school. And so that really starts off the, I guess, the kind of career portion of my life. And I was there for 6 years. I worked on a number of different investments of varying sizes, everything from very, very small pre-seed stage investments to, you know, very large, you know, hedge fund, you know, public buying kind of stakes at the fund. And it was a really great lens into the crypto world and kind of how that market operates. And so crypto market is a really weird market. It's a very new market. So being able to see, you know, multiple cycles there and see companies succeed, see companies fail, work with a bunch of different types of founders was a really cool opportunity for me to be able to, you know, see how the crypto world works and, you know, how to, you know, operationalize and kind of use those skills effectively. In 2023, I'd say late 22, early 23, I started reading a lot about AI and the ways in which crypto and AI could intersect. And initially I was looking to, you know, back something in the space, but I couldn't find quite the right company. And so I ended up leaving Polychain in 2023 and starting Ritual. And the company now, we're about 15 people. We're based all around the world, but we have a big presence in the United States, especially in New York. And the goal of Ritual is to make it very easy for smart contract developers to use AI models in their products. And we solve all of the infrastructural pieces in between. So we have a system that allows these developers to use these different types of models, classical ML models and deep learning and things like that, inside of various different products, whether it's building NFTs or building games and smart contracts. I'm sure we'll go into it more later, but that's generally the mission statement of what we're trying to do, is decentralize AI through making a whole new ecosystem of crypto AI projects.
Yeah, I think it's funny, because as I was prepping for this, I feel like there are kind of two elements here. There's kind of like, how can smart contract developers use AI models in their products? And then there's also like, okay, well, things that happen on chain are irreversible. They're often quite consequential. They often have to do with a lot of money. And so like, how do you make sure that those models are secure and verified and all of these things? And so it's interesting, because Ritual is kind of approaching two sides of the AIX crypto coin, right? You're kind of doing, how can smart contract developers use AI, but in order to make sure that that AI is verifiable and trusted, you're also actually using a distributed node model to enable those things, right?
Right.
Maybe we can dive into first what smart contract developers and on-chain applications might actually use AI for. And then we can dive into some of this like distributed node system around AI and verifiable models and things like that. So to start off, what is like your utopian vision for like what AI enabled on-chain applications could look like?
AI enabled dApps is a, very new space that I think has really massive potential. And it's why I, left my last job to go and really work on this in full. So one part of the equation that, as I was looking at these AI crypto companies that I was seeing a lot, was how does crypto help AI? Basically, how can we use cryptography to create guardrails around AI and do things like distributed training, decentralized training, and things of that nature? But I didn't really see a lot of people tackling it in the other direction. How does AI help crypto? I think AI can help crypto in a bunch of different ways. And the way that I motivate how they can is to basically zoom out and say, how has AI helped regular people today so far? A little bit of a historical context is that AI has been going through these boom and bust cycles for 50 plus years at this point. People were conceptualizing about AI back when computers were first invented. And really, I would say the creation of the transformer architecture and the release of ChatGPT more recently is really what catalyzed the growth of AI in a very consumer first use case. And I'd say we've maybe crossed the chasm for AI usage. The way that I think ChatGPT changed the world is that large language models, which really stemmed from the creation of the transformer architecture, took this idea that said, historically, humans have talked to computers with code, and that's how we would kind of interact with these machines, and people would build startups and products around this idea. But never could computers talk back to humans in different human languages, whether it's text or audio or anything like that. So I think that's the big unlock, is we now have these new systems that are highly generative. They're really good at being creative. They're good at taking ideas and turning them into reality in a very fast manner. They're good at interacting with humans. Now you can give these very complex queries to these AIs. They're able to go and sort it and then turn it back into interesting output. And largely, I think an interesting insight that has fascinated me for a long time is that human language is not the only language. In some ways, code is also a language. Video is also a language. These things can all be codified into a language and then thrown into these large language models, and they create these really interesting outputs. So in effect, you know, to kind of tie a bow on it, LLMs, you know, only one type of model, but LLMs and some of these newer models that we're seeing today are largely these forms of knowledge compression. LLMs go and scrape the entire web of created information, both public and some private information, and they're very effective at compressing that information into tens or hundreds of gigabytes. And then users can go and treat that as an oracle and query it for really the world's facts. And so when we take that and then we say, what is crypto? Crypto is a tool for self-sovereignty. Crypto provides you a way to own your data, to own your identity, to transact with who you want to transact with, and largely has a kind of great property of now you can create these new platforms, whether they're money platforms or technology platforms, that are outside of the control of any one person or place or corporation or government or anything like that. So when you combine those two things, what you're building towards is creating a new type of intelligence that's sovereign. You're creating these highly capable systems that are also not under the control of any one place, person, country, et cetera. And I think that's really powerful and really important because it not only helps the AI world and having, you know, one alternative, but it creates a lot of new things in crypto. Everything from being able to interact with wallets, with natural language. You know, imagine being able to, you know, voice chat your wallet and tell it to buy you, you know, 11, you know, sweep the floor of this NFT and it would just do it for you. Or maybe even something more complex than that. Or being able to use AI to improve how DeFi governance is done, being able to generate new types of NFTs and media. There's really a wide range of possibilities when you kind of think in this vector where let's combine the generative nature and the kind of conversational human language nature with all of the great things that crypto provide us. And this is really why we're building what we're building, is to be able to facilitate people that are experimenting with new models around AI crypto. I think my crazy prediction is that AI crypto will be the way that a vast majority of new crypto users enter the crypto space. Many different areas of crypto are largely, you know, whale focused or kind of, you know, they really advantage, I think, you know, certain types of people, but they're not really very, very general. I think AI is great in that it already has product market fit in the real world today with, you know, Midjourney and Runway and ChatGPT and Anthropic and all these other companies. And really we could bring that type of growth into crypto and bring, you know, attract a new entirely new set of users into the crypto space. So that's what excites me about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting on the side around like how crypto apps can be enabled by AI. I think the LLM stuff is even alone, which I think is kind of probably the tip of the iceberg, is interesting. Like I imagine, you know, onboarding my sister to a crypto wallet and her being able to just like articulate what she wants and have these things done for her. And then like, let's say she gets an airdrop and then being able to, you know, articulate her values in her own words and then have those values sort of come through in how an AI model might choose to participate in governance on behalf of her. And so I could see like all these ways in which AI enables people not just to come on chain, but also to like participate on chain in a way that I think today feels kind of daunting and overly complex and really simplify those things to your point around AI being like a simplification or an ability, a way to in a very simple way interact with a lot of information. And of course, like crypto is interesting because there's an abundance of information on chain. And so it's actually a question of how do you synthesize it and simplify it as opposed to like surface all of it in one interface or interaction.
Right. Exactly. I think it'll really level up the space quite a lot. You know, it's a hard thing to build, certainly, but I think that's, you know, we couldn't even do any AI crypto stuff before on blockchains, even, you know, 1 year ago, because the costs, well, no one had built it first, but then also the cost of actually doing that compute on chain was too high and too prohibitive. But I think very much like as we saw with layer twos and we're continuing to see, even with something like Solana, improving the access to these technologies will, I think, really enable a lot of like a whole new class of developers to be able to develop with new functionality that they couldn't do before. And I think that is a very cool thing to see is these new use cases that were previously unheard of. You know, speaking of, you know, Uniswap or Compound, you know, people were not really thinking of those things in 2016. But once Ethereum came out and we started seeing standards around, you know, creating contracts and USDC and a bunch of this stuff, the DeFi ecosystem really flourished quite a lot. And I argue that in AI crypto, we're kind of, you know, just entering that early phase and, you know, figuring out what the most interesting, you know, use cases are for developers.
Yeah, I mean, like you could even see someone using AI to manage a concentrated liquidity position on V3 on Uniswap. Like there are very simple versions and they're more complex and sort of abstract versions of this where my sister is like, I don't even want to care. I don't want to think about what a seed phrase is. Like, help me. Well, I suppose it's off chain, but I don't want to think about X, Y, or Z in crypto. Help me just execute some strategy that seems to be the best way to engage on chain. I think where things get kind of interesting there, as we alluded to in the beginning, is like things that are on chain are irreversible and often very consequential. And so having models that are verified and can be trusted is like really important. And so the other side of what you're building at Ritual is this like distributed sort of network of nodes that essentially allows for more open models. Maybe you can talk a little bit about like why that's important, and then we can get into what some of that looks like.
Sure. The way that I think the AI crypto space, you know, what are the vectors of I guess, what are the vectors of innovation, you could call it? There is, at the base level, is the compute. So the compute is really what's running the models. And this is everything from training to inference to fine-tuning. And then, of course, all of the kind of related privacy and integrity features. So proofs of compute and things of that nature. Right above that are the models themselves. So these are the you know, whether they're closed source models, open source models, and then things around how do you update them, how do you compensate people for updating them. Right above that is the data. So how is the data that's being fed into the models actually being sourced? How are you paying people for that data? New ways of rating the models, you know, another form of data. And then right above that are the applications. So these are the end user applications that use that stack between or beneath, you know, various different pieces. You can kind of mix and match. And really what we're building is a, you know, we're really focused at the kind of compute and model level and thinking through, you know, how do we create an open ecosystem where all of this stuff is done in a very transparent manner? So when I talked about the, you know, the how does AI help crypto, how does crypto help AI, there are a couple of different properties in which I think crypto can help AI. One is that because you're now building on a transparent layer, you have all of the added properties of blockchains that you can now bring into a system like this. So that's things like being able to track provenance and being able to have a kind of neutral system of record around what happened, being able to do checkpointing in a neutral manner. And then you also get all of these great on-chain semantics with something like that. And I guess specifically with what we're building, which is how do you now use an AI model inside of a smart contract How does it interact with other stuff? Privacy. So making sure that the inputs and the outputs and the actual compute that's being done is private rather than someone like ChatGPT taking your data and then, you know, retraining on that or really anything else. And then computational integrity. So is this model that this company is claiming to run, is that what they're actually running, or are they running something else? And that I think is important for many different use cases as well, both in crypto and not. And then finally, there's of course other properties, but censorship resistance is also a very important one to me, and I think to a lot of people in crypto. Being able to now have a way to access models and compute in a censorship resistant manner, I think is quite important. It both helps drive that transparency part of the crypto platform use case, where because it's transparent, because it's open, you won't have an issue like you had on, say, Facebook or Twitter in the, you know, in the 2010s, where they gave API access and then rugged it and hurt a bunch of businesses that were building on top of it because it was extracting value from them. And I think crypto is really great in that it's highly aligned, or it's much more aligned with the apps building on top of it than Web2 platforms. And so I think censorship resistance certainly enables that use case, in addition to other ones. As we start to see AI being used in more and more products around the world, you know, there's already hundreds of millions of people using AI today in a very consumer-first fashion, largely through diffusion models and LLMs. Eventually, in 10 years, it's going to be in billions of devices and billions of products, and billions of people will be using them. And I think it's really important that we have, you know, one alternative that's censorship resistant, that gives users an option to be able to use something that is not being steered by a small group of people or a company or anything like that. Certainly, you know, centralization is good in many cases. So it's not like it's a bad thing. But if our entire world revolves around centralization, then it creates too many risks. And I think as crypto people, we've seen this before with technology platforms like Facebook and Twitter and you know, money platforms like dollars and you know, sort of the Fedwire system and things like that. And largely, I think that's another important piece that you can bring to the world with a kind of crypto-enabled system.
Yeah. And I think those are all really interesting call outs in the context of course, some of the conversations that are happening now, as I think more consumers are actually getting their hands in AI, around like privacy and verifiability of these things. Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like in practice for Ritual in particular? How is the censorship resistance happening? What are all of these? What is the actual sort of constitution of this?
What we're enabling, I'll talk about how we're set up today to be able to service these customers. So the way that we've set up V1 of Ritual is in a system called Infernet. And what Infernet does is it's effectively a decentralized Oracle network. So it allows you to plug your app on-chain or off-chain into a compute network that we've set up called an Infernet node. That, you know, a node is, you know, one of many nodes in the system. And so a Solidity contract would use our Solidity SDK and call out to the Infernet system and say, I want this model, I want these features, and I want this input from the user. Can you go and do the work for me and bring it back? And optionally provide me proofs or privacy. So that is how we're set up, is in a kind of Oracle style system today. We are already serving a number of different customers, many of which we've announced so far. And this to us was the lowest lift way that we could get people using AI crypto today. One of the challenges that we saw as we were looking at a lot of the ecosystem was that the build out for a lot of this, a lot of the, you know, the companies in the ecosystem will take a really long time because the cryptography is not fully there yet to where you can do things like performant private inference with, you know, very little trust assumptions and other, you know, things like that. And so we instead focused on what's like the fastest way that we can enable more dApps to use AI inside of their systems. And we saw a lot of people starting to jerry-rig OpenAI into their products, but, you know, OpenAI doesn't give you a lot of the nice guarantees that you get with a crypto-enabled AI system. And so Infranet is really the answer to that question. For, you know, proofs and privacy, we're largely leveraging other outside players that are working on those things to be able to offer those properties. Part of the reason for this is, you know, initially we were planning to do this ourselves, but we found that both, you know, it's really difficult. It's like you need a lot of people to do it. Then additionally, there's many different approaches to each of those problems, whether it's on the privacy side, do you use a TE, do you use MPC, do you use FHE? And then in the integrity side, you can use ZK proofs, you can use TEs, you can use optimistic proofs. And so what we thought was, instead of going and trying to build every single one and then compete with other companies in the space also doing that thing, let's instead be more of a platform and let those players plug into us and be more of a neutral party in which the end dApp developer can pick the exact security and privacy properties that they want. Because the example you mentioned about you know, using say Uniswap hooks, or liquidity management or really whatever it is through an AI system, that may be a use case in which you want really strong security. If it's managing liquidity, it's managing stuff on chain, you probably want a pretty high level of security, and you may want a high level of privacy, you know, as much as it's compatible with that underlying system. But let's say that I'm, you know, building a Web3 Instagram, and I'm using, you know, I'm building a recommendation system on Ritual. I probably don't care that much that the results that were returned back were fully accurate, or, you know, had 100% integrity, because I'm just going to look at the results. And if they don't work, I'm just going to refresh it and do the compute again. And so for that use case, you'll probably want a very light proof, because that is what will cost the least. And I think we'll keep the conversions for the user high rather than having a lot of drop off. And so that is really how we've gone about thinking about this. And we've already started integrating with a couple of groups on both of those vectors. And so that's really how Infranet V1 is built out today. And I'll make a quick call out to what V2 looks like. I shouldn't even say V2, but phase two. So phase two of Ritual is Ritual Chain. So Ritual Chain is a sovereign chain that allows you to build apps natively on its network. Part of the reason we went about doing this is that many of the customers we're working with have not even picked out a chain yet. And we figured that being able to build an AI native chain with all of these different properties that I mentioned around everything from privacy and proofs to provenance of data and models, and then being able to create, you know, new forms of tokenization and incentives, I think are really important in the story of making AI crypto a really big thing. And not to mention the property, you know, the technical properties around now being able to own consensus and execution will help us make the, you know, the end result for dApp developers a lot easier and a lot more performant than it might be otherwise. And so that is the second phase that we are currently in the build out of. Infranet is already live and anyone can use it today, and we're constantly updating it. We've put a bunch of examples out on GitHub that people can check out. And Ritual Chain is something that we're working very, very diligently on to get out into the world as soon as possible.
Yeah. I think to me, what stands out as interesting here is I will ask the kind of left side of the bell curve question, which is when we think about, or when I think about, you know, the scary version of AI, it's that you have the ability, this is like the sci-fi classic, you have the ability for AI to not be turned off, right? Like it becomes super intelligent somehow. And there's no one who can say, I'm going to turn the switch off. And so you end up with this like weird dystopian future where like AI runs everything and that's just it. I think what to me is most interesting about something like sort of like decentralized compute and the ability for anyone to create a model and then nodes to be running those models is ultimately just that like you don't have Sam Altman being able to turn it off. And of course, if every single person in the network of nodes that's providing GPU decided to turn it off, then like that's one thing, but that's not, you know, that's not a given. And so I'm curious how you think about like, more abstractly, you know, what the future of that looks like. Like, is that just scary sci-fi mind, or is that a real possibility when you build censorship resistant networks that are not potentially just training, but also like allowing for inference and all of these things, and then ultimately becoming oracles for on-chain actions, which they can help make happen and all of that.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, The AGI question is the kind of age old question of, you know, is it 5 years away or 50 years away kind of thing? I mean, it's very clear that it's more like closer to 5 than 50 these days, although people would have said opposite even 5 years ago. So you bring up a really important point, which is who controls these systems and also who benefits from these systems, right? AGI will be a massive thing for society in that it now enables new types of jobs. It also, you know, removes a lot of jobs from the economy, and it really changed how people will live their lives going forward. And I think it'll create a great age of abundance of many different things. It's already clear that, you know, even things like creative tools and in effect, like replacing a lot of forms of labor is already becoming a thing that we see with systems like ChatGPT. So you're right in that I think it's important for us to have an alternative. You know, I sort of have a friend that says Bitcoin is amazing in that it's not state owned. Not everyone needs Bitcoin, but it's important that we have that one alternative. And I think it's very similar here where, you know, ChatGPT is amazing and it's brought us a lot. And I think it'll continue to be quite successful. But it's really important that we have alternatives in the event that for various confluence of factors that these things are steered in the wrong way or they're manipulated. You know, LLMs and AI are already being used in really important places in the world. You know, everything from self-driving cars, which is a different type of model, but, you know, still worth mentioning, to being used in US election media. Both parties have put out election campaigns with AI already this cycle. And then as we start to see Facebook and the ads start to kind of be pushed even more in that direction, and people start interacting with new chatbots that are not human-based, and they have, they have AI companions. There's a whole new vector of forms and ways you can manipulate people with information, which I think is a really scary thing to think about. And so, why I like crypto AI is that it's one of the few attempts I've seen at trying to not have that future, to create an alternative. In the Web2 space, you know, this is definitely talked about as well. You know, there's a faction of folks that are interested in decentralized AI, whether it's the EAC people or whoever else. Largely the way that they think the future will evolve is that we'll have some benefactors that are creating open weights for us, whether that's Facebook with Llama or Mistral, or certain governments like with Falcon. They think that, you know, we'll at least have some modicum of that continuing to go forward in the future. And largely how they view decentralized AI is really at the edge. So the utopian vision is that you and I would have a box in our house that has 8 H100s in it, and our phones and our laptops would plug into that box. And that box would do all our inference and fine tuning work for us for our different applications. And I do think that's a really, you know, interesting future, but I think it's very unlikely. So I think users will do the lowest friction thing. And what's the lowest friction thing to do? It's to use the things that already have distribution and already have users, and that's ChatGPT and apps of that direction. So to me, the right way to counterweight that is not with edge computing, although I do think that's very interesting, but instead to create new apps, new protocols, and new incentives for people to do things like creating new models, updating new models, creating new types of products, getting new types of users, new forms of distribution. And that to me is what crypto AI brings to AI in many ways, is lean into the crypto part of it, where you're not able to do things like programmable incentives or open, transparent technology platforms, and use that as a counterweight to this current future, which, you know, today has not been manipulated really, maybe a little bit in certain cases, but has a very high likelihood in the future of doing that, whether it's financial incentives or social incentives, economic incentives, or even, you know, pure, you know, incentives from pure force, like a government forces you to do something. So that's generally how I kind of think about that future.
Yeah. I mean, I think the idea that like individual companies stewarding something as important as AI and the potential like misalignment of incentives and general direction feels like resonant. I think the funny thing that then my brain goes to is like, okay, well, yes, crypto enables the ability to align incentives, which feels really exciting. There's a level of transparency, all of these things. And my like, as we wrap up, question for you would be, do you think we'll be able to align incentives such that, you know, the emergence of some sort of like AGI, the incentives of that entity are actually aligned with humans? Does that feel plausible?
Yeah, it feels plausible. Part of the question to me is in what form the AGI takes, and kind of how sentient and how, you know, how much agency does it have versus not, versus how much is it steered by the users that create it. There is a future in which models, LLMs, for example, in the next 5 years get so good that we get effectively some form of AGI, where maybe it's the quotient is that the IQ or the average, you know, intelligence of this system or the capability of this system is better than any one human on Earth. Maybe that's what superintelligence is. Or maybe it's, you know, that is greater than, you know, 90% of humans. I'd argue we're already very close to something like that today. GPT-4 is better than a good majority of humans on Earth at many, many different things. And it's definitely superhuman in many tasks, it's subhuman in many, of course. I mean, we still all have our jobs. And yeah, I think there's a future in which eventually we get, you know, a super intelligent model. Hopefully it's open sourced. Maybe it's open sourced because it was built on a blockchain. There's incentives to do so. And then now it's collectively owned by a bunch of people rather than just one company. And then we're able to, from there, you know, hopefully effectively steer people in a certain direction with governance. And it brings up a lot of the same governance questions that we have with things like DeFi, where what is the most effective form of governance? How do we govern effectively? Who is governing? How are we governing? Things like that. And I do think that there are some really unique tools and useful tools, and being able to use crypto incentives and governance to be able to align these systems better than they're aligned today, which is more of a kind of a shareholder base. Part of what I think ideologically is important with all of this, like to give people a kind of discourse, if they're not familiar with what's been happening in AI governance the last few years, is that largely, a lot of the incumbents are trying to use regulation to cut off new entrants into the market and create these arbitrary rules around who can update models and who can train models, who can serve models, and things like that. And I think that is also sort of predicated on, or is maybe based on, a viewpoint of those folks that only a few people should, in the case of an AGI, be able to say who should use it or how it should be used. Whereas I think our view, and many in the open source AI camp, you know, in the Web2 camp as well, view is that let's make these things as open as possible rather than close it off so that only a few people that are, you know, quote unquote responsible can steer it. Said open it up so that it's not a threat and that anyone can access it. And so that it's, you know, there's not these effectively power vacuums holding people from, you know, being able to do what they want with the AI and being able to create these guardrails for an AGI-like system.
It's interesting. It in a way, it actually reminds me of what I think is kind of the philosophy behind, weirdly, like Flashbots, where they're like, yeah, MEV is kind of bad, but like we can open these things up and allow anyone to participate and make it a market, which we think is actually net positive. It weirdly kind of reminds me of that line of thinking.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly right. It's a great, you know, way to think about that problem. A very, you know, very similar problem we had in the 90s was the cryptography export ban. What happened was, as we were starting to develop these very sophisticated forms of encryption, you know, post kind of Cold War, these things were powerful enough that the government, like the US government, viewed them as munitions. Like they viewed them as, you know, almost like a gun. And that exporting cryptography was like exporting weapons to a different nation. And you know, some guy did an experiment where he basically wrote the code to, I don't know, it was some signature scheme or something on his t-shirt and then walked across the border to Canada, which is technically an illegal thing to do. And he basically, it was part of many things in trying to prove that code is a, you know, code is free speech. And I think what's happening now is very similar with AI, which is there's sort of a free speech question around a lot of this, or there's a lot of a, you know, control and access question. And so again, with cryptography, you know, being able to make it open source and put it out into the open is what makes them more and more secure. It would, you know, any cryptographer worth their salt would freak out and be really upset if, you know, your cryptography scheme was private and only a few people audited it and looked at it. That'd be extremely suspect and definitely would not work in a crypto landscape where the whole point of it is that it's auditable by anyone in the world, and especially hopefully easily auditable by anyone in the world. So I think that's a great call out. You know, we've seen some historical examples of that as well.
Yeah. It's kind of an interesting example where like, really the something being private, like obfuscates it in a way that's bad for everyone. Or at least in theory is not as good for everyone. I'm very excited to see like AI and crypto converge, because crypto has certainly gotten the everything is public thing right. And I think there are really exciting sort of things at the intersection here. I guess one last question for you before we wrap up is, I'm curious what pace you think these things will move at and like what you think we'll start to see next. I mean, obviously it's hard to predict the future, but it feels like Ritual and a few other projects are sort of thinking about this convergence of crypto and AI. I'm curious when you think we'll start to see this like really come to fruition, where like a lot of on-chain apps are enabled by AI. Those models are on these more distributed systems, which are not exclusively centralized. Yeah, I'm curious what you think the pace there might look like.
So we're at a very early stage for crypto AI, in that a year ago there was very little happening in the space, and maybe even 3 years ago there was nothing happening in the space. And you know, some people ask the question, you know, why now? Like, why is this all happening now? And it's the confluence of both the cryptography that will underlie many of these systems have become performant enough that you're able to run in this context, whether it's privacy or integrity or whatever else. Even blockchains have gotten, you know, better. And then additionally, AI has now accelerated to the point where there are very real, interesting consumer use cases that, you know, largely did not exist 10 years ago. And so that is making for a really great timing now to have things being built at the intersection. I think what we're missing is we certainly need more people, more developers that are building at the intersection of both, that kind of understand both spaces. I think once more crypto developers start to get educated on the basics of AI, we'll start to see a lot more interesting things that come out of it. And part of our goal that you know, we've set for, you know, for a long time is we want to help crypto developers get up the curve as quickly as possible and also make it easy for the average crypto developer to not need to know AI to be able to use it in their product. Like, hey, you're building a game. This would be a really great way for you to do character dialogue generation. And instead of having to like know how to like write that entire, you know, piece of software and then host it, we can do it for you. And we can, you know, reuse certain models or fine tune models for that specific use case. And we're starting to see people, you know, build both at a kind of institutional scale with, you know, larger crypto companies that are leveraging our infrastructure for different things, but also just hackers that are building things like NFT generation and DeFi projects. And lowering that barrier to entry, I think, is a very important thing to do for, you know, for anyone building in this space. Where I see this space going in the next, call it year, is I think we will see a product that has several million users that is a crypto AI native product. And I think we will also see, you know, hundreds of more companies launch. We're already starting to see a big increase in the number of companies in the space today. So I think we're just going to see the space grow. And alongside, the technology starts to develop itself quite a lot as well. There are a lot of researchers and developers that are very excited in the technical problems behind a lot of this and are working on building new ways to make them more performant and kind of tenable in a crypto environment. So that is my prediction / goal over the next year, is to just enable hundreds of more developers to come into the space, make it easy to build with AI. And I think we will see a number of big consumer products, in addition to non-consumer ones, but especially consumer products that are built with AI on chain.
Well, I'm very excited to be a user of those products. I feel like it's been, a long time coming for crypto to sort of combine with AI in really interesting new ways. And like I said before, there's so much data on chain and so much complexity on chain that I think simplifying those things just feels like very clearly a value add. So I'm very excited for that future. Niraj, this was such a lovely conversation. Where can people learn more about you and what you're doing at Ritual?
The best way to learn about Ritual, we have our website, ritual.net, RITUAL.net. And that has links out to our Twitter, our GitHub, which has a bunch of code on it, our Discord, where you can ask questions, and has a bunch of information about how Ritual works, because it's a bunch of different moving pieces to make this product a reality. And then to learn more about me, you know, I occasionally tweet thoughts about Ritual, about crypto AI and a bunch of other stuff. It's just twitter.com/Niraj. So NIRAJ.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on the pod. This was so much fun.
Yeah. Love the questions. Thanks for having me.